Okay, is everybody, we got our Public Works Committee?
Yep, you're good.
Okay, sounds good. We'll call a meeting to order. And is there a motion to approve the minutes? We got May 4th and May 18th.
Not so moved.
I'll second it, Tom Ryan.
All right, any further discussion? If not, all in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Okay, Vince, landfill.
Okay, the first one is about New York State's Electronics Recycling Act. Last year, we charged the public $15 for TVs and monitors for a total of $54,000. Then we paid the recycling contractor $80,000 to take them. Excuse me, Rich Bills from our Solid Waste Division is president of the New York State Solid Waste Association and will explain this resolution to modify New York's Electronics Recycling Act. Are you there, Rich?
Yeah, I'm here, Vince.
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. In 2010, New York adopted the New York State Electronic Equipment Recycling and Reuse Act to help manage the fast-growing electronics waste stream by requiring electronics manufacturers to fund the recycling of these items. The act requires electronics manufacturers to fund recycling programs that are effective, continuous, and reasonably convenient to all consumers across the state at no cost. Over time, manufacturers have discovered that once they meet their performance standards, they no longer have to provide financial support to these programs. Basically, once they meet their minimum tonnage, they're off the hook. The way this plays out in our county, it amounts to us paying 35 cents a pound or $700 a ton to have televisions and monitors recycled. Subsequently, we pass much of this cost on to the Steuben County residents in that $15 fee that Vince had mentioned. It amounts to a significant charge to Steuben County residents and the Steuben County government that should be paid for by the manufacturers. Manufacturers of electronics have profited greatly while avoiding end-of-life considerations for their products. These burdens have fallen on us. This E-Waste Recycling Act was supposed to have remedied the situation, but has failed. We are simply asking that New York State make these revisions to the act so that it accomplishes what its stated purposes were, which were to require the electronics manufacturers to fund recycling programs that are effective, continuous, and reasonably convenient to all New Yorkers at no cost. Did everybody receive a copy of the draft resolution, or should I get into some more detail of what we're asking?
We didn't receive it, and that's why I was just asking about it.
Okay, okay. We're recommending basically three things. For all counties with populations within a range that includes our county, in no event shall there be less than three permanent collection locations. Two, the so-called mailback provision shall be removed from the statute as it undermines the requirement that manufacturers provide convenient drop-off for residents. And most importantly, any materials collected at a permanent municipal collection site shall be accepted by manufacturers at no cost to the municipality, including reasonable costs for preparation and transport. We actually run four of these sites in the county, and I think the spacing that we have within our county, is relatively convenient for people in our county, but we fund a lot of that program. So I think it's time the state step up and make these changes.
Sounds good to me. Is there a motion to move this resolution along?
I'll move it, Tom.
Fred, I'll second it.
Is there any further discussion?
John Malter, I have an observation.
Yep.
I think that if we sit out there and the manufacturers have to pay for this, which is a fine thing, they're just going to add the cost onto the product. So the consumer is going to pay one way or the other.
This has been in place for the last 10 years. And so this cost should have been internalized to the TV manufacturers, electronics manufacturers already.
As a result of this, people aren't going to be throwing them out on the highway instead of paying the money, right? You don't have to pay the money any longer.
That's the concept. If New York State makes the changes, the appropriate changes to this law to do what it said it was supposed to do, we would have no cost to run our program, and we would be able to accept televisions for free, which is, I think, what we'd all like to be at.
I certainly would, because I get about 3 or 4 a year on my property.
Does your association have a feel for, is the state receptive to fixing this, or is this just another memorialization like we do that never seems to go anywhere?
No, there's a sense. We've been working with Senator Todd Kaminsky, and they seem to be receptive to trying to make some changes to this particular law in particular. Because the state has been pushing a lot of these types of extended producer responsibility legislations. They don't have to spend any money, and they can get things recycled and taken care of if they're able to push these things onto the manufacturers. So I don't know if it'll make it happen, but we are making a concerted effort to try to get this one tidied up before they start pushing more of these types of producer things on us.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I'm in favor of this. I'm actually surprised that we haven't figured out that the manufacturers are paying the full amount and the state is keeping their portion, because that seems to happen in a number of other cases. But even if this doesn't get changed by the state, I think we still need to do the program we're doing, even if it's costing us money. I mean, the landfill is a very solvent organization, and this is one of the costs that we should bear versus having Tom Ryan get 15 TVs a year instead of 4.
Well, if you would pay for them, Scott, I don't mind picking them up for you.
So are you suggesting, Scott, that we eliminate the $15, or you want to wait and see what the legislation does?
No, if I heard Vince correctly, even with the $15 fee, it's still costing the county about $60,000 in cost.
I think he said, was it 60 or 30? Because it was 80-something, and then he said the 15 was 50-some. So between 80 and 50 is around 30. Am I right or wrong, Vince?
We collect 54,000 from the public, and we pay the recycling contractor 80,000. So we're taking up about $26,000 of this. This is a good program. We have it in place. They do a good job at the transfer stations and landfills, collecting them and the people piling them in for us. And it keeps getting bigger and bigger. But Rich's association, I think, has a good idea. The manufacturers make the money off of this. They should be responsible for this product right to the end of its use. It's a toxic material after it's broke down.
Mrs. Mullen, what's the proposal for... Suppose there's a surcharge on these manufacturers. Would it just go to a particular county anytime they Anytime there's a TV sold in the county, if it's sold on Amazon, does that go to the county? What's the, how do you envision this working?
Well, it's working, the way it's working right now is the way it's going to continue to work. We're, all we're doing is offering some recommended revisions to allow it to do what it was intended to do. So right now, there's a complicated arrangement where the manufacturers of electronics work through a co-op, and the co-op seeks out the required electronics to be recycled. They come out to people like us, get contracts to collect. So the whole thing is kind of, it's got a couple different layers of people involved. When we go out for an RFP for a contract, though, with a electronics recycler, you know, we should not have to pay $700 a ton to get rid of this stuff. That should be covered by the manufacturers through their co-op, through the state law.
You know,
go ahead, Aaron.
Never mind.
So is there any more discussion?
John Malter?
Yes, John.
I just feel that it's costing the county right now $30,000. And on top of that, we have the workforce in place that is costing us money. I don't think we should make it a free situation out there to the public.
All right. Any other discussion?
This is Jeff Warren. I agree with John Malter. I think we should keep the $15 in place. And if it ever becomes completely free to the county, then waive the fee. But at this time, not to change that fee at all.
Okay.
Just to be clear, I wasn't suggesting that we eliminate the fee, okay. But I tell you, I would be against raising the fee because I've heard a lot of people complain when we instituted the $15 fee. And if we take it any higher than that, it's going to be worth people tossing it in the along the roads again.
Yeah, this
when we started it, it was 25, wasn't it?
20.
It was 25, yeah, and we reduced it down.
That's right.
This is Mullen. I'd rather see more of a nominal cost, but I don't think we're debating that today. As far as I know, we just need to do this resolution. Did anybody move it yet?
Yes. We have a motion and a second, I believe. Right, Brenda? Or Amanda? Don't we have a motion and a second for this resolution?
Yes, you okay. Do.
That's what I thought. All right. Thank you. All right. If there's no more discussion, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Okay, Vince.
Okay, the next one is about our landfill and our gas energy projects and options to it. Methane gas is produced by decaying garbage at our landfill and can be used to produce electricity and natural gas. Because of falling prices, we have held off on issuing a request for proposals to develop this gas. However, there have been recent developments indicating an upturn in this market. So we would like authorization to issue an RFP to develop the gas and our gas to energy plant.
This is Mullen, I'll motion.
All right. Is there a second to that?
Ryan, I'll second.
Okay. Got a second. Any further discussion?
I have a question. I was involved when we first started the project, and then when I took my leave of absence there, what happened to the, how come it got shut down?
What was that question?
How did it happen that the plant was shut down after we put so much into getting it going?
The discovery of shale gas. If I think we all can remember a time 15, 20 years ago, whenever anyone talked about New York State and problems in New York State, it was high energy prices. They don't talk about that now anymore. That happened because of shale gas. Now, this plant, the co-op came to us and said they could build the plant, high revenues, and everything indicated that because at that time, energy prices were very high. Subsequent to that, and after the plant was built, the shale gas production started and collapsed pretty much the prices of energy. So that now we're doing a transformation and adjustment to take advantage of what we believe are other opportunities out there to make natural gas out of this methane gas. To produce electricity at the plant where this new act by New York State requires renewable energy at big office buildings, and they can take advantage of that. So there's the energy prices are low, so the original reason for the plant is gone, but there are other opportunities out there. We're not sure of them, but we'd like to get proposals that they come to us and tell us what they have to offer.
I see no harm in putting an RFP out to see what's out there, what our options are. Doesn't hurt us any.
Agreed.
So we have a motion and a second, don't we?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Is there any other discussion? The co-op would have never built that plant if they'd have known of Marcellus Shale. Right after we made the deal, the Marcellus Shale came about, and what Vince said is what happened. So. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carry.
Okay, the next one's for highways to transfer money from the salt account to the sand account. Our sand suppliers have been running out of sand before the winter ends. To remedy this, Doug Rapley and Andy Morse put together a new bid for the suppliers to put up a pile of sand this summer that will last us the entire winter. The portion of that pile that will be used from January to March of 2021 normally would come out of the 2021 budget, but we are requesting this transfer so that we can pay for the pile of sand in September of this year.
Is there a motion for the transfer?
Mullen motion.
For a second.
Horton second.
I'm Ryan. Okay. Any other discussion? At least we won't be running out of sand this way. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carry.
Okay, we have one bid. When we build gravel shoulders for a road, the roller sits on top of the gravel shoulder and it's in a tilted position. This makes it susceptible to tipping over. So this new roller is safer because it cantilevers out onto the shoulder from a tractor that rides on the pavement. So the operator is in a tractor sitting on the pavement where he's stable, and the roller cantilevers out onto the shoulder. This will make it much safer, and I think quicker too. So we'd like to, I'm recommending accepting Tracy Road Equipment's $54,700. It's a lot lower price than we expected.
Is there a motion?
Is there money in the budget for this?
Yes. We had $75,000 in the budget for it.
I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
Jeff Horton, I'll second.
Jeff Horton, all right. This is still, I know it's extra money, but it's still cheaper than if somebody gets hurt in a workman's comp case. So I think it's a good idea.
Do we have tractor to pull it?
Any other discussion? Go ahead.
Do we have a tractor to pull it with?
It comes with a tractor.
This is the entire combination, the tractor and the roller.
Oh, okay. Okay, my bad.
Vince, this is Doug. This is just the attachment piece of the equipment.
We have a tractor that we can attach to it, right?
Yes, this is a universal roller by Road Widener that goes on to, attaches to a skid steer, and we already have the skid steer for it to go on.
Okay, thanks, Doug.
Okay. Well, it's an expensive roller, but it's still cheaper in a workman's comp case. So,
Fred, I have a question.
Yes.
Will this give the compaction rate that you would for the regular roller? It seems like if it goes on in front of a skid steer, it's going to be a lighter unit.
I think it'll get better compaction. When they're out on that shoulder, it's pretty precarious sometimes. This will pressure down. It'll have vibratory compaction. It'll get good compaction. I think it'll get better compaction.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was a vibratory roller.
So, is there any other questions? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It carries. Do you have anything else, Vince?
Yeah, you would wanted some updates from last month's meeting. First of all, though, Steve Orchid has something on our recycling plastic contract. Steve, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Right now, the plastic recycling market's kind of collapsed on our current vendor, Swarthout, and their facility they go to is closed because of the COVID-19. So they're unable to move the plastics for us. They're willing to shift that contract, that piece of the contract off, and allow the county to do its own marketing for that at this time. And then they waive any potential damages that they could try to claim for lost revenues from our action. This will allow us to move some materials into some other markets for the time being. And then once the market restores, we'll go on and we'll move back into the current arrangement with Swarthout. Right now we've got a facility that's willing to look at some of our plastic. We won't get any revenue off it, but on the same side, we won't be charged any fees either. So it'll be kind of a neutral arrangement, but at least we're not gonna be landfilling the plastics for the time being.
This is Mullen, I've got a question on it. What does our contract with Swarthout say?
Their contract is pretty much that they move the plastics for us, but they have no market to move it into.
But what do they pay us for it, don't they?
They do. If there's a revenue for it, there's no revenue right now in the plastics market.
So our contract is tied to like one of the indices, or was it a specific rate?
Yeah, it's tied into the Buffalo. It's the Buffalo market sheet, I believe it is.
And that's at zero.
That's not a zero, but they just can't move the materials because all the processing facilities right now that they deal with are shut down.
Well, it seems like they should still have some cost in this. I mean, I guess I could see a reasonable argument on their end on it, but would they be able to help us move it still to the other places we were going to take it?
No, we'll move it. We'll take full responsibility for the material at this time. We've got materials that's just building up on our site. It's that or we landfill it.
There's no market for it. Where are you going to move it to?
There's possibly a facility that can break the bales open and might be willing to try to separate out the number one and two plastics right now. Yeah, in the facility, one of the facilities they were using, Taylor down in Wego, had a fire there in the spring and lost their whole facility. So that was one of the sorting facilities they were using. The one in Pennsylvania that they're currently were trying to use or have been using is shut down because of the COVID virus. And so there's not a whole lot of movement in our area for plastic.
It just seems odd that we can find somebody, but they can't.
We're not sure we found somebody. We sent a test load into them. They'll look at it and see if they can even handle it. It might not even be work out for us.
In this market, I think any way you can get rid of it, you get rid of it this way. At least it doesn't fill up the landfill.
Right. We've already went through the process of sorting it and baling it and getting it prepared for shipment. Last thing I want to do is put it in the landfill. I think that's where we all want to be with that. And the state certainly would frown upon that.
Well, I'm not going to fight over this, but I think the question, I don't see the question is, I mean, if there is somebody out there, the question to me is why isn't Sportout having to take it to them instead of us? That's the only thing on my mind. I mean, I don't mind not trying to nail them to the wall for whatever we could have got under the contract, but it seems like they should still have a cost on some of the shipping of it if we're not going to try and hold them to the contract, which again, I don't mind not trying to get every cent out of it. That's just, I'm not saying to put in the landfill. I think it would be, it's a different question than whether we should put in the landfill. It's why, if we can take it there, why can't they? That's my question.
Bob, can I say something on this?
Sure. Go ahead, Vince.
Aaron, I understand your point about this is a contract with someone who is saying now they can't do the contract or won't do the contract. They're saying they can't. In normal times, I would say, okay, you can't do it. We'll do it, but you're going to pay the cost. But we are in different times now. This is, and Jennifer maybe can step in, but we're in a force majeure time now. We're in a crisis. Everything has changed. Things have happened that they could not at all have foreseen in this contract. None of us could foresee. So I don't think that we should be making them pay the cost of basically something that no one could reasonably foresee. It wouldn't be fair to them. I don't think it's a responsible way for us to act.
It's a reasonable position.
Thank you.
All right. Is there any other questions? Do we have a motion for this? I guess we need
no,
a motion.
That's an FYI. Jennifer.
Oh, FYI. Okay. Okay.
How is it an FYI when we have a contract that's not, I mean, I don't mind, I'll go along with it, but I don't understand why it's an FYI when we actually have a contract in place that is not going to be held to now.
Well, okay, you guys, Jennifer, can do a motion. Yeah, you can do a motion if you choose. It was just kind of stayed, Aaron, at this point in time. We can, the paperwork can be signed. It was just stayed. It came up a week or two ago knowing your committee meeting was coming. So we didn't have an official conversation, motion or non-motion. We just kind of stayed enforcement of it to talk to you all.
Yeah, This is Jack. I think, to Aaron's point, I think you should have a motion because you are essentially changing the contract terms.
Yeah.
I agree with Aaron.
Temporarily, and we'll come back and let everybody know when it's back in and they can send them into the market. We have no idea how long that's going to be.
So this is just a temporary move?
Yes.
Temporary modification of the contract.
Do we have a motion to do this?
I'll make
agree with Aaron. So, is Aaron making a motion?
I'll second the motion. I heard somebody make it.
Who made the motion?
Fred and I.
You did, Tom?
Well, Fred and I did it together. Take your
pick. Okay, Fred or Tom. All right.
So this is Jeff Wharton. The motion is to temporarily suspend the contract. Is that what it is, or
yes.
What is it?
Okay. Yes, and to waive any sort of damages up from either party, us against them or them against us for the stay.
Okay.
Any other questions? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. All right. You got anything else, Vince?
Yes, at last month's meeting, moved rental of an excavator, and the reason we are renting it, because we have a damaged track hull, and you had wanted some information on that damaged track hull. It is a 2008 machine. It has 6,000 hours on it. We bought it for $175,000. When the machine went over the bank and rolled over, the repair bill was $63,000, and the insurance paid $40,000. Now, the bridge crew is concerned about really the structural soundness of it, and I understand what they're saying. They're wondering about the main connection points, the bucket to the boom. And then in the boom, there's one main hinge, the soundness of that hinge, the boom attached to the house of the backhoe, that connection. And then the connection of the house, which sits on the undercarriage, the tracks, there's a connection there. You know, that I've worked under booms, and if you're not confident in it, you don't want to be under there. So we're bringing it in again this week. Jerry Miller is going to check it for those main connection points. That's what their main concern is, and it would be mine too if I were working under it. And we're going to see what it shows up, and we'll go from there. I don't want them working under something they don't feel is safe. I mean, I would go as far as to say, if an expert said it was safe and they said they were afraid to work under it, I'd have a problem putting that machine over them. But I just wanted to let you know this, the numbers on it, what our next step is to look at the main connection points. We'll be doing that this week.
Okay. Anything else, Vince?
That's it.
This is Mullen. I have a question about that, Bob.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just thinking that with what Vince just said, if we get to a point where these guys still don't want to work on it and it appears to be okay, but the county and, you know, Vince and Jerry Miller and the workers still have some sort of issue with it, you know, maybe we should consider selling it and getting a different piece if that ends up being the case, instead of continually, you know, going around with it.
That is an option, Aaron. But I have another idea too. But I want to take this a step at a time and take it slowly. Let's let Jerry look it over, come up with his determination. And we'll get together with Eric Putzman and the crew and see where we're going to go with this. But that is a legitimate option to sell it.
Okay.
Bob, I did have one more thing. Last month, Fred Potter brought up the question about the traffic control on the part of the utility companies. I did send an email to all the highway supervisors to let me know if they run across a setup where they don't think it's right on the part of the utility companies. And this past month, it has improved significantly. I haven't talked to the utility companies, but it has improved significantly. And Jen and Steve Catherman are still working with their utility companies on our permit that we give them to add a little bit more precise information on their maintenance of traffic responsibility. So that's been an improvement.
Thank you.
Anything else, Vince?
That's all I have, Bob.
Okay, does anybody else have anything?
I just had a question or comment for Vince. County Route 120 above Schoonovers near the East Lindley Baptist Church is caving away again. This is like the third time in 5 years. And it's bad. I went across to Donna Harley this weekend. I'm wondering whether the signage we have saying bump is enough, because it could cause an accident with somebody.
Okay, Scott, I will take another look at it. I was there. I traveled that road either last week or the week previously, and it was all right. So it just must have went down. This is a real problem for us on our roads. You'll have creeks, waterways at the foot of the slope of the road, and over time they undermine it and the road settles. We've got a couple others that we're tending to now. It takes a lot of time and money to do it, but I'll look at that one, Scott, and we'll take care of the bump and additional signage.
Okay.
May have to get Soil and Water in there, Vince.
We always do. You know, I take a look at it. Doug does, the district supervisor. We pool our ideas, but we have Jeff go in there and give us his advice on that. He's really the one that knows the most about how to do this.
I mean, that slope to that creek is probably 150 feet or more down, and it's the side of the hill's given away. I don't know how they build it up or support it.
We normally, if we put heavy rock on the slope, a lot of times that'll stabilize it. But the real fix is to go down into the creek and toe in, dig a trench at the toe of the slope, the bottom of the slope, a big trench, and fill it with big rock. And then put rock across the stream, check dam, so to speak, yep, every 100, 150 feet. That keeps the creek from undermining the slope. That's one of the options that we use. A lot of times it's difficult to get to the bottom of the slope, but we're able to do it. And we'll do something with this. We have, in the past, we keep paving it in to smooth it. But in the end, you have to fix it. You can't just keep patching it in. And at some point, we will.
Yeah, this,
we have others that are worse right now.
This is a very costly thing for the county and for towns. The town of Tuscarora spent over $200,000 on the Addison Back Road because the Tuscarora Creek was cutting in and the same thing was happening. It went down in the creek with Soil and Water, put big rock in down there to keep away from the bank. And it was over 200,000 we spent for a small township.
That's a lot for a town.
Got some help from FEMA, but still it's a lot of help. There it's a lot of cost. And you know, no town or the county wants roads like that, but a lot of the roads are along creeks and rivers. So what do you do? Is there, if there's nothing else, is there a motion to adjourn?
Potter, motion.
Mullen, second.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
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 All right. Thank you. We weren't as good as...
Sure. Bob. Bob. Yeah. You going, did you have a conflict on June 10th, the Soil and Water meeting?